Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Money and Government, The Past and Future of Economics by Robert Skidelsky, is a work of economic history and policy argument that asks why modern economics so often sidelines money, finance, and the state. Written by a leading historian of political economy and a major biographer of John Maynard Keynes, the book revisits the rise of orthodox ideas that portray markets as largely self-correcting and treat government intervention as a last resort. Skidelsky challenges that stance by emphasizing uncertainty, financial instability, and the practical limits of models built on equilibrium and rational expectations, using the Great Depression and the 2008 global financial crisis as key reference points. He argues that mainstream macroeconomics and prevailing policy frameworks were poorly equipped both to foresee the crash and to guide recovery afterward. The purpose is not only to critique, but to clear space for a renewed macroeconomics in which fiscal policy, central banking, and monetary institutions regain central importance in explaining real-world outcomes. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, uncertainty as the foundation of macroeconomic policy. A central theme is the Keynesian idea that economies are shaped by genuine uncertainty, not merely calculable risk. Skidelsky stresses that many influential models assume the future is probabilistically knowable, and that agents form expectations in ways that converge on stable outcomes. In contrast, Keynes argued that in key areas such as investment and finance, the future is fundamentally unknowable, so confidence and convention play outsized roles. When expectations shift, spending can collapse and unemployment can persist, even without obvious price rigidities or external shocks. This perspective helps explain why monetary economies can suffer prolonged slumps and why waiting for self-correction may be costly. It also reframes the role of policy. If private decision-makers cannot reliably coordinate on a stable path, government action is not an anomaly but a normal stabilizing tool. Skidelsky uses this lens to question frameworks that downplay fiscal policy or presume that central banks can fine-tune outcomes through narrow rule-based targets. The book thereby reconnects macroeconomics to institutional realities and to the psychological and political conditions that shape confidence. Secondly, how economics sideline money and the state. Skidelsky traces how major traditions in economic thought move toward an image of the economy in which money is neutral in the long run, and government is mainly a source of distortion. Classical and later neoclassical approaches often emphasize equilibrium, relative prices, and market clearing, encouraging the view that macroeconomic problems are temporary deviations best solved by flexibility and credible rules. Against this, the book insists that money is not just a convenient veil over barter, but a core institution that affects spending, credit creation, and the stability of capitalism. When money and finance are treated as peripheral, it becomes easier to miss mechanisms that generate booms, leverage, and sudden contractions. Skidelsky also highlights how the political ambition to constrain discretionary policy helped elevate doctrines that prefer limited government and stable, predictable rules. The result, in his telling, is an orthodoxy that underestimates the constructive roles of budgeting, public investment, and lender of last resort powers. By reconstructing these intellectual shifts, he shows that what is presented as technical necessity is often a contested choice about institutions and governance. Thirdly, the 2008 crisis as a test. The mainstream failed. The global financial crisis functions as a practical audit of late 20th century macroeconomics. Skidelsky argues that many economists and policy institutions were blindsided because dominant frameworks paid insufficient attention to financial fragility, balance sheets, and credit cycles. If markets are assumed to be broadly efficient and self-stabilizing, and if money is treated as largely neutral, then systemic crises look like unlikely outliers rather than recurring features of a monetary economy. The book links this analytical gap to policy vulnerability regulators. Central banks and treasuries were encouraged to focus on low consumer price inflation and steady growth, while risks accumulated in banking and shadow finance. After the crash, extraordinary monetary interventions were necessary. Yet recovery remained weak in many places, raising questions about over-reliance on central banking alone. Skidelsky uses the episode to argue for a macroeconomics that integrates finance and acknowledges that confidence can evaporate quickly, shifting private saving and investment behavior in ways that standard models struggle to capture. The crisis thus becomes evidence for rethinking both theory and the division of labor between monetary and fiscal authorities. Fourthly, austerity, fiscal capacity, and the role of the budget. A prominent argument concerns the post-crisis turn toward austerity and the tendency to treat deficits as the central danger even during depressed conditions. Skidelsky defends a Keynesian view in which the public budget is a stabilizer when private demand collapses. Government spending and temporary deficits can prevent deeper unemployment and loss of output. He challenges the idea that fiscal consolidation is generally expansionary, or that credibility requires rapid deficit reduction regardless of the cycle. The book also questions a policy regime that asks central banks to carry the full burden of stabilization, especially when interest rates are near zero and monetary transmission is weak. In this context, fiscal policy is not merely a political preference, but a practical tool to support spending, employment, and investment. Skidelsky also frames austerity as reflecting intellectual and institutional commitments, including fears of inflation and debt narratives that persist even when inflation is subdued. While not claiming that deficits never matter, the book argues that timing, purpose, and macroeconomic conditions are decisive, and that the costs of underusing fiscal capacity can be substantial and long-lasting. Lastly, or toward a renewed macroeconomic centered on institutions, Skidelsky aims to encourage a shift in how economists think about policy, moving away from overly closed, rule-bound systems, and toward a more historically and institutionally grounded macroeconomics. The book argues that money, banking, and government are not add-ons but core structures that shape economic outcomes. This implies giving greater attention to central banking mandates, the design of financial regulation, and the conditions under which fiscal policy can operate effectively. It also implies humility about precision. If uncertainty is pervasive, then policymaking resembles navigation under changing weather rather than execution of a known engineering plan. Skidelsky, therefore, questions the confidence sometimes attached to models that promise optimal outcomes from simple rules, such as strict inflation targeting, or from assumptions of rapid equilibrium restoration. Instead, he emphasizes pragmatic stabilization, attention to the credit system, and responsiveness to shifting expectations. The future of economics, in this view, requires pluralism about methods and a willingness to learn from economic history, including episodes where policy innovation followed crisis. The book positions Keynes not as a relic of the 1930s, but as a continuing guide to understanding monetary economies and the responsibilities of modern states. In conclusion, Money and Government is best suited to readers who want a big-picture account of why macroeconomics developed the way it did and why its dominant assumptions came under strain. After 2008, economists, students, policymakers, and financially literate general readers will benefit most, especially those interested in the intellectual roots of contemporary debates about stimulus, austerity, central bank independence, and financial regulation. The chief payoff is conceptual. Skidelsky equips readers to see money and government as structural features of market economies rather than as external interferences. That shift clarifies why crises recur, why recoveries can be slow, and why narrowly technocratic frameworks can miss political and institutional constraints. It also offers a policy lens that restores fiscal policy to legitimacy under slump conditions and treats uncertainty as a first-order fact. Compared with many crisis books that focus primarily on events, this one emphasizes the history of ideas and the way academic models shape what governments think is possible. Compared with textbooks that present a settled synthesis, it argues that macroeconomics remains unsettled and contested, and that rebuilding it requires historical memory, institutional realism, and a more Keynesian appreciation of instability and confidence. If you would like to support Robert Skidelsky, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.